Okay, so get this. A Polish immigrant, Dora Surowitz, I think her name was,
Yeah, Dora Sirwitz.
takes on this huge corporation, Hilton Hotels, and wins.
At the Supreme Court, no
The
less.
Supreme Court.
Okay.
In 1966, this was a landmark case. You've probably heard about shareholder lawsuits, right?
Oh, yeah.
This one, Surowitz v. Hilton, completely changed things, especially for what you might call, well, the little guy investor.
Yeah, the individual investor.
Exactly. So we've got the court documents, legal analysis, the whole nine yards. We're going to really unpack how this case, which seems pretty straightforward at first glance, ended up having massive implications.
Yeah. I mean, what's really wild is how it kind of turned the tables on who could actually bring a lawsuit.
Right.
You always think of these huge legal battles being fought by, fancy lawyers, not someone like Dora.
Right, exactly. So let's talk about Dora for a minute. I mean, she was a Polish immigrant. English wasn't her first language, definitely not a lawyer.
Right.
She trusted her son-in-law, Irving Brilliant, to manage her investments. We're talking a modest $2,000 in Hilton Hotels stock. Now, Irving, he was a Harvard law grad, sharp guy, a real investment whiz, and he starts to suspect something's fishy with Hilton's stock buyback plan.
Yeah, and this is where the idea of a careful investigation comes in.
Yeah.
He doesn't just jump to conclusions, right? He teams up with an attorney, Walter Rockler, and they spend months digging into all the details.
Freaking deep.
Oh, yeah. And they uncover some potential fraud, stuff that could violate multiple securities acts, even Delaware corporate law.
Whoa.
Yeah. They put together this massive 60-page complaint outlining all these serious allegations.
60 pages.
60 pages.
Wow. So this wasn't just Dora suing on her own, right?
Nope. She was suing on behalf of the company itself.
Oh, I see.
That's a derivative suit.
Okay.
A really powerful tool for shareholders to, hold these big corporations accountable.
Right.
But of course, there are very specific rules about how these complaints are verified.
Right.
And that's where things get really interesting. So Dora signs this verification. It's under Rule 23B. Basically, she's swearing she believes all the allegations are true.
Okay.
But during a deposition, they ask her some questions and she admits she doesn't understand all the legal jargon and that, that massive 60-page document. And the lower courts, they really jumped on that.
Oh, no.
Yeah, focusing on like her lack of legal knowledge instead of, the potential fraud.
Right.
They basically said, case dismissed. She doesn't even know what she's suing for.
It's almost like they were saying she wasn't smart enough to sue.
Yeah, there was definitely a sense of that. But
Yeah.
luckily, the Supreme Court stepped in.
Thank goodness for that. So, what did the Supreme Court have to say about all of this?
Well, Justice Black, he wrote the majority opinion. He's like, hold on a second. Rule 23B, this isn't meant to be some kind of obstacle to justice. It doesn't require every plaintiff to be, a legal scholar.
So you don't need to have a law degree to fight for what you believe in.
Exactly. His main point, the key takeaway, is that it's perfectly acceptable to rely on advisors. Like, that's the whole point. If the complaint itself, if it's based on a reasonable belief and it comes from a careful investigation, well, then it's legit.
So it wasn't about whether Dora herself understood every single legal detail.
No.
It was about whether there was a real basis for the complaint. And thanks to Irving and Walter, I mean, there clearly was.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And this, I mean, this was a huge win for access to justice.
Absolutely.
The Supreme Court basically said, look at the case itself, not just how much the plaintiff knows about the law.
That's huge.
It is. I mean, can you imagine how frustrating it must have been for Dora, to have her case dismissed just because she wasn't a lawyer?
Oh, absolutely. And
Yeah.
what if it had gone the other way?
Ooh, that's scary to think about.
Yeah. It would have set such a dangerous precedent. Yeah.
Right.
What if only legal experts could bring these kinds of lawsuits?
I mean, corporations could do whatever they wanted.
Right. So what's there to stop that from happening? What are the safeguards?
Well, this right here, shareholder derivative suits, that's a big one. Not every shareholder is going to be a financial expert, but they still have a right to challenge shady practices.
Right. But wait, there's more to the Supreme Court's decision, right?
Oh,
Didn't Justice Harlan have something to say about all this?
yeah. He agreed with the outcome, sending the case back for trial. But he offered a slightly different perspective in his concurring opinion.
Okay, interesting. What did he say?
Well, he basically suggested that in cases involving plaintiffs who weren't as, how do I put this, as sophisticated, maybe?
Less familiar with the legal system.
Yeah, less familiar with the legal system. He said maybe a lawyer's affidavit could be enough to satisfy Rule 23B.
So, like, a sworn statement from the lawyer, basically vouching for the claims and saying they're legit.
Exactly. It acknowledges the need for a thorough investigation, you know, making sure the claims aren't frivolous, while also recognizing that not every plaintiff's going to grasp every legal nuance.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
It shows how even on the Supreme Court, you can have these different views on balancing, you know, the rules with making sure people can actually get justice.
It's a really interesting point.
It is.
Yeah, and it's a debate that's still going on, even today. Surowiecki v. Hilton didn't solve all the problems, but it started these important conversations about making the legal system work for everyone.
Right, not just for the privileged few, I guess you could say.
Exactly, exactly.
Okay, so we've talked about the case itself, the people involved, the Supreme Court's decision, even some of the different opinions within the court.
Right.
What about the lasting impact of this case? How are things different today because of Surowiecki v. Hilton?
Oh, the impact's huge. It really is. It's cited all the time, especially when, you know, companies try to use a plaintiff's lack of legal knowledge to get a case thrown out.
So it's not just some historical thing. Yeah. It's actually still affecting legal battles even now, all these years later.
Oh, absolutely. And it goes beyond just shareholder lawsuits, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The principles the court laid out, they apply in all sorts of situations. Anytime a defendant tries to argue that a plaintiff doesn't really understand their own case, bam, Surowiecki v. Hilton comes into play.
It's like a shield for the little guy, right? To protect them from being kicked out of court just because they aren't legal experts.
That's a great way to put it. It's about leveling the playing field, making sure everyone has a fair shot, you know, regardless of their background.
This has been fascinating. I feel like I'm getting a whole new perspective on this case. But before we wrap up, I gotta ask, the Surowiecki case, it really highlights this tension between, well, the rules, the procedures, and, you know, actually getting justice.
It does, doesn't it?
Like, we need rules to keep things fair and orderly, right?
Of course, yeah.
But we don't want those rules to become so rigid that they prevent people from actually getting justice. So how do we find that balance?
That is the million-dollar question, isn't it? It's a tough one. There's no easy answer.
Yeah.
But cases like Surowiecki v. Hilton, I think they give us some important guidance.
Okay, how so?
Well, they remind us that the legal system should be about serving justice, not creating a bunch of procedural traps.
So remembering the human element.
Exactly. The people behind the legal arguments.
And not just in shareholder suits. Right. This applies anytime someone might feel intimidated by legal complexities.
Absolutely, yeah. You don't need a law degree to fight for what's right.
That's what this case proves. So if you're out there listening and you're thinking, okay, interesting case, but I'm not a corporate lawyer, why should I care about this?
Here's why. Surowiecki v. Hilton shows us that procedural rules shouldn't be used to block people from access to justice. It's about making sure the courts look at the actual claim, not just the technicalities.
Okay, that makes sense. But let's be real. The legal world, it can be pretty intimidating. All that jargon, complicated procedures. How is the average person supposed to deal with all that?
That's a good point. And you know what? The Surowiecki case actually highlights how important it is to have good legal counsel. You don't need to be an expert yourself, but you need someone on your side who can, you know, translate everything, fight for you effectively.
So find yourself a trusted advisor, someone like Irving Brilliant was for Dora.
Exactly. Someone who really understands the law, someone who can guide you through the whole process. This case, it really underscores the vital role lawyers play in making the legal system accessible to everyone.
It really does.
Yeah.
This whole case, it just makes you realize how important it is to have a good lawyer in your corner.
It really does, especially when you're dealing with something this complex, something with so much at stake.
Okay, well, we've covered a lot of ground today. This case, Surowiecki v. Hilton, it's a real testament to the power of just, you know, not giving up, believing in fairness, even when it seems like the odds are totally stacked against you.
Yeah, absolutely. It reminds us that the law, you know, when it's working right, it's a tool for change, for positive change.
So what's the takeaway here for our listeners, especially, you know, for anyone out there who's facing a legal challenge, something that seems impossible to overcome?
I think the message of Surowiecki v. Hilton is pretty clear. You don't need to be some kind of legal expert to fight for justice. The system, at its best, it should protect everyone. Not just the people who can afford to, you know, hire a whole team of lawyers or who can understand all the ins and outs of these complicated legal documents.
It's a story that reminds us that persistence matters, that standing up for what's right matters, even when it seems like you're up against a wall.
Yeah, absolutely. Dora Surowiecki, she was a Polish immigrant. English wasn't her first language. And yet she took on this corporate giant with the help of, you know, some really dedicated legal counsel. She won a victory that, I mean, it's still making waves today.
It really shows that access to justice, that's a fundamental right, and that the law, it can be a tool for good, for making things right.
And it highlights, you know, just how crucial lawyers are. They're the ones who make the system work for everyone.
This has been an amazing deep dive. We've really gotten into the weeds on this landmark legal case, but I think we've also, you know, touched on something bigger here. Fairness, access to justice, the power of ordinary people to, you know, hold the powerful accountable. Couldn't have said it better myself. It's a story that needs to be told and needs to be heard. It reminds us that even when things seem impossible, even when you're facing overwhelming challenges, justice can win out in the end. So the next time you hear about, you know, a shareholder lawsuit or any case where someone's fighting an uphill battle, think of Doris Surowitz. Remember that the legal system, at its core, it's about fairness. It's about protecting everyone's rights.
And if you're facing a legal challenge yourself, well, don't be intimidated. Find a good lawyer, someone you trust. Stand up for your rights. Remember, David took on Goliath, and David won.
That's a great point to end on. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive. Until next time, keep exploring, keep asking those tough questions, and, you know, keep fighting for what's right.